This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. You got a look on your face, Seth. What's going on?
I was just, I had my suspicions, and now it's been confirmed that rugby shirts are back in, Sean.
Really?
You can take your wardrobe from 40 years ago and just roll it. Does your Coca-Cola rugby shirt still fit?
Okay. I'm not as fat as I was, say, 10 years ago.
You're like, definitely not as skinny as you were when you were a 19-year-old Coca-Cola rugby shirt wearing stud. I can't imagine that rugby shirts, it's not going to catch on in Houston nearly like it has apparently elsewhere.
No.
That's a thick garment where you're wearing there.
Yeah,
and apparently one of the trends is to wear a button down underneath a rugby shirt. Go die.
Oh.
There's no way in hell I'm putting that much fabric on my torso.
Oh my God. Yeah, back in the day, man, back in like junior high up in the great state of Connecticut, it was kind of fashionable to have like an Izod golf shirt on underneath a rugby shirt. Like
that's back,
like,
man.
Two collars.
This is our time, Sean.
Really?
They've come for us.
Oh,
yeah,
man. All right.
We go hang out outside the convenience store. The kids there, and they'll
creep
right in.
Yeah, yeah. Not creepy.
Remember my
at all.
First girlfriend, Malika Ball. She had a killer a collection of rugby shirts.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
where you guys thought I was going with that, but no, collection of rugby shirts.
Those too. All right. Let's get to the Pettycast here. We do it each and every Tuesday. Normally at 8 o'clock. We're doing it today at 9 o'clock. If you missed it, Mike Thoman, Texans team president, joined us in studio at 8 o'clock. Really good conversation, especially if you're interested in the stadium kind of side of things. I thought he had some good insight on that. 7 years left on the lease. That was the big takeaway there. We'll circle back to that at some point here. But you can get that on the app. Hey, quick reminder, too, since the first thing we're about to talk about here in the Pettycast is Astros-related, Tyler Milner and Patrick Creighton have a really good Astros podcast, The Big Orange Wagon. Mm-hmm. Encourage you to subscribe to that on the Odyssey app as well. As long as we're doing some shopping on the Odyssey app, I would say go to the baseball aisle and pick out The Big Orange Wagon and download. Those guys do a great job with that.
Whenever I see their show logo, I imagine a woman with a bad fake tan and a big booty. She's got a big orange wagon.
Oh, yeah.
Gets me going.
Big orange
Gets
junk.
Gets me ready for baseball.
Yeah. You want some junk in the trunk? Big orange wagon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's what I'm into.
All right. Here's the Pettycast. This is purely a Sean Petty here, and this is for the Astros, who I will point out did a nice job hosting us and getting us squared away for games in West Palm Beach. And that'll be the end of the niceties, because this is the Pettycast. I am mad at the Astros because they're only televising 10 of their spring training games. This is the most intriguing spring training that we've had for the Astros since before they won the World Series, in my opinion. Because there's a lot of guys who are going to play prominent roles on this team now and in the future that we've not gotten a really good look at yet. And I would like to know what Space City Home Network is running in afternoons that they can't flip on the cameras and run some Astros baseball. Todd Callis is down there because I've heard him on the radio down there.
I think it's probably one of those things where if you're an actual TV company, not a radio station that puts our stuff on YouTube as an added bonus, that you probably feel like, look, we've got a certain standard that we hold ourselves to, and we can't just we can't just throw on a web stream and have that be our product.
Yeah.
So I get that part of it, but maybe, I don't know. Yeah, do something with the team or something
watch.
Where you just stream a live feed. Don't even have any commentary. People can just, yeah.
Sure,
just
it's a cost along. Thing. I'm sure it's like, if you were to broadcast all 30, you've got to have a camera crew and, you know, you got to pay everybody and whatnot. But, man, I'm bummed out. I get push notifications about a Cam Smith bases clearing triple. And I've got to wait for, like, the Zapruder film to come out to see the damn thing.
Last year, they had 13 games broadcast.
Yeah.
And one of those was ESPN Plus.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a downgrade this year.
Yeah, it's 10 this year.
And you're right. This is a more intriguing spring training than we've had in a while.
No doubt. All right. So I'm petty about that. As long as we're on baseball, Diane Friedel is the name of an Orioles fan, an old Orioles fan. This is a quick one because I love it. Like, she's old. Like, she's, you know, like, I'm not going to put a number on it. She's much older than me and you, Seth. I'll just put it that way. She was asked on an ESPN broadcast about the Yankees. She's an Orioles fan, keep in mind. Here's what she had to say.
Here you go. Give me a prediction about the American League East. Who's going to win it?
I have great fears of the Skankies because they're loaded. They'll buy their way out of anything.
Got the Baltimore accent.
They'll buy their way out of anything. They are skanks.
Yeah, skankies.
Rich skanks.
Yeah.
The worst kind of skank.
They are.
They don't care about you. They'll, you know what? You think like, oh, wow, I can't believe this rich skank is sleeping with me, the pool boy. And then, but she'll quick get you fired if daddy finds out.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Diane.
I've seen the movies. I know the way it works.
Good job, the movies.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you get accused of stealing whatever the rich skank girlfriend actually stole.
That's right.
Just because she wanted a thrill.
Skankies.
Yeah. She's slumming it with you.
Skankies. Good job, Diane. She's petty about the Yankees, and I like it.
The one here, I don't think you don't have Pat McAfee on here, but he had a little bit of a similar situation with the WWE broadcasting from Canada the other day.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't think to put that in the petty cast. I didn't know if that ranged into...
They were broadcasting up in Canada. All of a sudden Canadians are wanting to do, they booed the national anthem.
Yeah.
So what did Pat call the country of Canada?
I forget what he called it, but boy, he was... animated, like he jumped out of his chair. This is the very beginning of the broadcast. Maybe
he
we'll
insulted
go find
the
it.
Entire nation of Canada.
He did. He apologized on his show yesterday.
He got all wrapped up in his patriotism.
Yeah, I would imagine. You know, WWE, pretty patriotic company. You know, Vince McMahon always did a lot of stuff for the troops back in the day. But I would imagine and Vince isn't involved with the company anymore, but I would imagine, like, backstage people are like, all right, Pat, we got to settle down a little
bit. Well, I don't, you know what, though? I mean, I think he was perfectly within his rights to go after the people who were booing the national anthem and politicizing the event.
Yeah.
But you could, you know, you just don't go as far as to say the entire country sucks, I suppose. When you're holding the event in that country.
Like in the Rogers Center, like right there.
But I think I think it's totally fair game if he's worked up and goes after the people who are booing.
Yes. All right. Jimmy Butler. I am petty about this. Jimmy Butler is rapidly becoming one of my least favorite athletes. You see this story, Seth, about the shape that he left his Miami rental in after he got traded from Miami to the Golden State Warriors? He owed $200.
He went full Antonio Brown.
He did.
Never go full Antonio Brown.
God, no. Never. He owes $260,000 in rent, which is two months' rent. Yes.
Two months in rent?
Seth, this place he's renting was $130,000 a month in rent.
I saw the $130,000 and I didn't read any further. I thought that was for the year. Oh my gosh.
He hasn't paid rent in 2 months. $260,000. These max contracts are too much money. $260,000 in owed rent. He left $127,000 in damages at the house because he failed to maintain the pool and the air conditioner, which led the latter of which, the AC, led to mold forming in the ceilings and the floors.
Yeah.
So they had to redo all the ceilings and floors, I guess. But here's why I'm petty about I'm petty about this, because this is somehow Jimmy Butler has surpassed Steph Curry and Draymond Green as the biggest reason to root against the Golden State Warriors. That's how petty and bad I feel about Jimmy Butler, and especially the way he left
up in RUNNOFT. His obligation, same way Deshaun Watson did. Remember?
Yes, yeah.
Remember those poor landlords
at lefties
who were supposed to house his lefties.
Yeah,
Deshaun just up and left and didn't pay the rent.
Yeah,
allegedly
bad person, slime ball, worse.
I rented out to a professional athlete once who was a delight. Brandy and I still had our condo in Jacksonville on the beach, and when I was here, I rented to Stalin Collinette. You remember him? Defensive tackle?
I don't.
Originally with Minnesota. He was with Minnesota when they were really
good.
Love
the name, but though.
He was a great tenant. He was a great tenant, and he lived life. I got reports from the cops that I knew in Neptune Beach, Florida, about how fun a time Stalin Collinette was having. Yeah.
Stalin.
We had a good relationship with the cops there, because it's a small, the little beaches communities are like these each little individual towns.
They're awesome.
If you were a Jaguars player, you could get a ride home with a cop pretty easily.
Yeah, I love
that. They'd be like, jump on in, Seth. I got you. And they'd cart you down the road
Sounds like a good guy. I don't want to talk to him. I want to talk to his parents. Stalin. Does he have a brother named Mussolini? Like, what are we doing?
I don't know.
We named all our kids after evil dictators. Like, what's happening here?
My stepbrother, Hitler.
Yeah. Like, it's edgy. It's edgy for sure. All right.
Real quick. You remember when Prince was renting a house from an athlete once? And when the athlete came back, everything had been painted purple.
Yeah.
And I guess Prince paid for it. It was no big deal. That's just what Prince was going to do if he's going to rent a place for a couple months. He painted the entire place purple.
Someone who's not doing a pedicast right now, Google and text in who that athlete was. I remember that, whose house that was. All right, Ian Rapoport. I'm petty about Ian Rapoport. He told this story about Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders as Shedeur was getting ready for the combine. So this is prior to Shedeur arriving at the combine.
I want to walk you through an interesting situation for me as it pertains to Shedeur Sanders. Talking about, this is not a kid who grew up like a lot of the other kids. He has been around cameras his whole life. He has been in the spotlight his whole life. He is just different and does seem to be ready for all this. Let me explain what I'm talking about. I reached out to someone close to Shedeur, close to Deion Sanders, about a week or so before the combine, trying to see whether or not he was going to throw. I get a message. Coach is going to hit you directly. Okay. I get a FaceTime. It's Deion Sanders. I'm driving in the car with my boys. Deion Sanders FaceTimes. And I say, I'm trying to figure out what Shedeur going to do for the combine. He goes, hold on 1 second. Let me get him. Put Shedeur on the phone, explains the whole thing to me, break down his goals, his plans for the combine, why he's not going to throw, what he's going to do at pro day, and sounded like a 30-year-old. That's the kind of conversation interaction you rarely have. And to me, one reason why he seems ready for this.
Okay, here's why I'm petty about this, Seth. Ian Rapoport, who's under fire right now from the wrath of Jordan Schultz. You know, there is a little, it feels like there's a little bit of like chest puffing amongst the Nugget hussies out there, maybe. Just declare, I am the greatest.
This is Ian putting on his low-cut dress.
Yes.
You know, low-cut blouse, just hey, look at my credential boobs.
Thank you. Two petties here. One, I think Ian Rapoport just wanted to brag about getting a FaceTime from Deion Sanders. Uh-huh. I don't feel like Shedeur Sanders is any more mature or immature based on him laying out his plan on a FaceTime to Ian Rapoport, number one.
Yeah, too, one of the biggest news people out there. It's not. It doesn't say one thing one way or the other. It's just, okay, he reached out to a national reporter, okay?
He sounded like a 30-year-old.
This isn't one of the stories about how, you know, the kid last year that took care of the janitor at Alabama.
Oh, that was Tarion Arnold. Yeah,
Tarion Arnold.
Yeah.
That's a story that shows
me,
okay, that's, wow,
that's
all right,
investment.
Man, this guy is a real human that's got a heart and everything.
Yeah. Shedeur was nice to you for 30 seconds. Number two, did he pull over his car to conduct the FaceTime? He said he had his kids in the car with him. I need an investigation
on
this.
We don't know that he did.
I need an investigation.
I can't report that he did actually pull over.
Right. We don't know. And I guess I'm left to assume what happened.
Remember when J.J. Watt called me out for driving while FaceTiming?
Yes, I do.
And I did. I was like, I pulled over. And he was like, yeah, not at the beginning. You pulled over when it was your turn to ask.
J.J. Watt, narc. Oh, that's funny.
I was betrayed by J.J.
That's funny. All right, last one here. The Academy Awards were on Sunday. And Sean Baker is a filmmaker. The film Anora won a bunch of different awards. I've not seen Anora, Seth. Have you seen Anora?
No.
Yeah, I've not.
It seems
either.
Like the Academy Awards these days are going more to like artsy type things.
They've been that way for a long time, man.
Movies that people have actually seen.
Yeah, I struggle to find any movies I've seen. So this was, and maybe this is part of the reason why nobody's going to the theaters right now, right?
Anora is amongst the lowest grossing Best Picture winners ever.
But I'm sure it's artsy fartsy AF, right?
$15.6 million, yeah. The blockbuster.
Yeah. So Sean Baker, who made this film, gets the award and gets up in front of everybody at the Academy Awards and says this.
We're all here tonight and watching this broadcast because we love movies. Where did we fall in love with the movies? At the movie theater. Watching a film in the theater with an audience is an experience. We can laugh together, cry together, scream in fright together, perhaps sit in devastated silence together. And in a time in which the world can feel very divided, this is more important than ever. It's a communal experience you simply don't get at home. And right now, the theater-going experience is under threat. Movie theaters, especially independently owned theaters, are struggling, and it's up to us to support them. During the pandemic, we lost nearly 1,000 screens in the US, and we continue to lose them regularly. If we don't reverse this trend, we'll be losing a vital part of our culture.
I agree. No. I empathize with the movie theaters. Amy and I love going to the movies. We wanted to go this weekend. We can't find a movie we want to go see. So this is what I would say. This is my petty to Sean Baker, Seth, is that I want the movie theaters to remain in existence as well. Boy, when the River Oaks Theater reopened and they reopened with the bar and old movies and everything, that was a cool day. That's one more place to go. I love going to the movies. Make better movies, Sean Baker. This is my message to you. This is my battle cry to the movie industry. Make better movies and we'll go.
I think it's kind of you're in a snowball effect, though, where the people aren't going to the movies as much, so it's harder to justify a big budget unless you're a comic book franchise or a super big sci-fi, something where being in there and that experience really, really makes a difference.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Sean. I go to the flip side and say we are in a golden age of television, and I appreciate the fact that every good movie I see in the theater out of it, I'm like, huh, I really wish this was a 12 episode miniseries, actually.
Sometimes.
This is, those are actually better than the movies.
Yeah.
Go die, movie business. I don't give a damn. This is the same thing happened when television first came out. The same thing happened. The movie business declined drastically. So this is just, it took 6 or 7 decades for it to really take a steep drop again. But the TV experience with streaming has improved so much that, they're going to suffer for it. Go make a miniseries and stop having such an ego about it. I want to recreate the experience I had when Daddy took me to the movie. Your dad sucks.
Good,
get a Netflix subscription,
that is some petty. That was some of your best petty work that you've done in a long, long time right there.
This guy's he's judging all of us for enjoying being at home with our families, okay?
Yep.
Instead of, you don't want me to spend some time at home, maybe save some money? Hey, how about this? How about you don't charge me $87 for a bucket of popcorn, Hollywood jerk?
That's a good point, too. Well, in the part where he says, what did he say? Like, something like, there's nothing more important than this right now?
This is it's the most dire challenge facing American society today.
It's important in that it impacts a corner of the economy. That money will go somewhere else, I'm sure.
But we have movie stars who can't make more than $20 million to do a movie.
Yeah, man.
This is stagnation.
Yep.
Who will help the Tom Cruises of the world?
I love it. All right. That was some good petty work right there. That's our petty cast. We do it every Tuesday, normally at 8 o'clock. Today at 9 o'clock, we'll be back to 8 o'clock next week. All right. Up next, Drew Doherty of the Houston Texans has done his mock draft roundup 3.0, 45 total mock drafts. Who are the most mocked players to the Texans? And who is one player that you would take that's among the one-time mockies right now? In fact, one of the best minds in the draft biz has the Texans taking somebody that's off the grid right now for the Texans. We'll have that for you coming up next.